Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of Troth, Apostolic Seventh Chairman Congregation of the South of Troth, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 7, 2016, or it is the third day of the fourth month, 2020. We will start our first service, our second service, today with the song entitled Bringing in the Sheaves. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy. We're waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadow, hearing of the clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. Dying by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, he will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Isaiah, the Latter-day Prophet, Part 4. Let's continue our study. As I told you, we're going to pick up where we left off in our last study. And that's in Isaiah 14, verse 3 and 4, I believe. It says that, and it shall come to pass in that day, that the Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. In the day that Jacob's bondage under the Gentiles is ended, in the day that strangers have joined themselves unto Jacob, in that day Jacob will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Now guess what? You're listening to antitypical Jacob speak even as we speak. Believe it or not, this is the way it works out. As antitypical David, he first starts playing his role as the antitypical Joshua and Caleb in 1970. As I told Brother Johnson, if you're Joshua, the son of Nun, then I'm Caleb. Okay, and so he bristled at that. And then as the prophecies opened up on Gilead Center and the kingdom of Edom, and showing where Brother Johnson was antitypical Esau, then these two dissimilar servants developed into, from Joshua and Caleb to Esau and Jacob. And then Jacob, when he comes through the first judgment at the house of Yahweh in 2002, he received the name of antitypical David, Elijah David. So he got Caleb, then he took on Jacob, then he took on Elijah, And he took on the title of Elijah, actually. The spirit and power of Elijah, but he took on David. So it was Caleb, Jacob, and David. So now here we have a prophecy by Beit Yehuda. And it says that in that day, Jacob will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. We've identified who this antitypical king of Babylon is. And that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. George Bush Jr. being a Nebuchadnezzar in the antitype. And, you know, it's a strange thing. And then Obama taking the baton from him in 2009 to succeed him as antitypical Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I want to show you something here. I have a book here in front of me that I bought at the Goodwill store here a few weeks ago. I went in there, and I always go to the book counter for just about the first thing when I go into that store. They always got different books every day that they put out. And I saw this book, The Rise of Babylon. And it has a king of, it has a picture of Hussein on the front. The king of Babylon, Saddam Hussein. There in, this book was written by Charles Dyer. And it's got a picture of Saddam Hussein, and in the background it's got an image head of Nebuchadnezzar. And in the middle of this book, he has a lot of pictures taken from about page 120, starting with page 129, starting with, at the end of page 128. And so he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 5, 6, about 7 pictures in here, I believe. 7 pages of pictures, and they're about the rebuilding of ancient Babylon upon its ancient Babylon's grounds. Now, I'm going to look up a place in the Bible that talks about where Babylon was brought down after it fell under Nebuchadnezzar's day, and that it is never to be rebuilt again. Now, in Jeremiah 53, it says, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come upon her, saith Yahweh. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Now this land of the Chaldeans translates also into the land of the Assyrians. The Assyrians came before Babylon, and the Assyrians laid the foundation for Babylon. The Chaldeans, was their dialect, was a hybrid Hebrew, the language that they spoke. Babylon spoke the Hebrew language, but they hybrid it from the Paleo-Hebrew to the Chaldean dialect of the Assyrians, of Babylon. Okay, now, look at this. It says, though Babylon should mount up to heaven. Okay, now, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, said Yahweh. So Saddam Hussein, one of Ishmael's princes, that's descendant of Ishmael, an Arab Muslim, he had taken over the country of Iraq, which belongs to Israel, in the land of Israel. And he's taken over as one of the princes of Ishmael. And he has taken over all the oil in Iraq. And he's taken over the original palace grounds of Babylon. And so I've got these pictures here. I'm going to read you about them. That is in this book about the rebuilding of Babylon today by this Saddam Hussein. And he was well on his way until George Bush declared war on him in 2003 and went into his land and stopped the rebuilding of this Babylon, ancient Babylon. He's going to raise it back up on its own foundation, just like it was in the top. So on this first picture, we see some walls here. And it says, the rebuilt walls of the procession street rise from the ruins of ancient Babylon. Okay, in these next set of pictures, it says the top picture is the entrance to the Southern Palace at night. Bottom picture is the rebuilt Southern Palace of King Nebuchadnezzar. So Saddam Hussein had already got this stuff done. And then it says there's a picture onto the right here from this. There it says the view from the gateway that leads to the Southern Palace. Okay. Now it says above, the next page with the picture, it shows the entrance to King Nebuchadnezzar's throne room and the Southern Palace. And the right picture here says Saddam Hussein's half-size reconstruction of the Ishtar Gate. And now what is Ishtar? What did we learn about Ishtar the other day? She's a transvestite, male and female icon, created as a goddess, female goddess, but she's a transvestite. Okay, male and female. Top right inset, a figure of a bull on the original Ishtar Gate. Bottom right inset, part of the wall of the original Ishtar Gate, showing bulls and dragons down in bas relief. Now, another thing, King Ahasuerus, the king of the Medes and the Persians, when he ruled over the 127 provinces of Babylon after the Medes and the Persians overthrew Babylon and Belshazzar, there was a man that came and worked his way into the palace of the king named Haman. He was of Ishmael's descent. He was an Arab Muslim. He hated the Jews. King Ahasuerus loved the Jews of the Medes. But this Haman infiltrated the kingdom of King Ahasuerus, and he worked a thing where he made up a letter for the king to sign with his ring, and he couldn't reverse it, that he could kill all the Jews in the 127 provinces and strike them all in one day. So now this is who Saddam Hussein is a descendant of, this Haman. Okay, so now, you know the rest of the story, but anyway, it says on the next page now, it says, a poster for the Babylonian International Festival featuring Saddam Hussein and King Nebuchadnezzar. So here's Saddam Hussein saying that I am the antitypical King Nebuchadnezzar. Whereas the prophecy says George Bush Jr. is the antitypical Nebuchadnezzar. Now I know why Yahweh told me one day when I was over at Allen's place, it was in 2004, I believe, at the atonement. He says, around atonement time, he said, George Bush is antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, and you'll find his name encrypted in the name Nebuchadnezzar. I said, oh my goodness, that's heavy. I wonder why that information is coming out now. Lo and behold, George Bush had already attacked Saddam Hussein. He was claiming to be antitypical Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And so he already took the real antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, George Bush, and had him to go and declare war on that descendant of Ishmael, his half-brethren, and destroy Saddam Hussein for usurping that position of antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, trying to break prophecy by going in and rebuilding Babylon and saying, I am antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm the Nebuchadnezzar of today, and I'm going to rebuild Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom of Babylon back up on its own heap. And he was well on his way. Okay, now I have two more pictures on the right here. It says on the next page. And on the top picture, it says rebuilt walls of Procession Street, the main street that leads into Babylon. And the bottom, these Iraqi soldiers march on the Procession Street, just as Nebuchadnezzar warriors did. But notice the tennis shoes on the soldier in the last row. He forgot part of his authentic Babylonian costume. Okay. So now we have on the next page, we have left of the reconstruction of the Nanmak temple, viewed from the Ishtar Gate. Top left inset, an original model of the Nanmak temple, based on the archaeological excavation. Bottom left inset, a close view of the Nanmak temple. Above, the Euphrates River still flows through Babylon. Okay, so he's showing where this is the original site of Babylon, and the river Euphrates still flows through, and so Babylon has been rebuilt. Has been rebuilt in Iraq, and the world news don't say anything about this. But if Nebuchadnezzar had been allowed to continue to rule and sit upon the throne of Babylon, Saddam Hussein, then you would have to say the prophecy then is no good. Because the prophecy says that Babylon will never be rebuilt, ancient Babylon. But the thing is, let's see, now we have the next picture. It says additional reconstruction continues in Babylon. And on the next picture, the reconstructed Greek theater in Babylon seats 4,000 people. So that's what Saddam Hussein was doing with all that money that he stole from the oil that was drilled by our own oil companies here in the United States back in the 20s and 30s, 40s and 50s. They developed all those Middle Eastern oil fields of those Arab nations, which actually belongs to Israel. So all of our Mobil and Shell and Exxon and all of that Standard Oil Company and Chevron and all of those oil companies went over there. And they developed all those oil fields. And they tell those Arab leaders, you can run these oil fields for us, and we'll give you a certain part of the revenue of them, and we'll keep the rest. And that's exactly what they've done for 80, 90 years now. And they've got themselves extremely rich. And all this oil actually belongs to Israel. Alright, so now here's another picture. It says, a play performed on the opening night of the Babylonian festival gave tribute to Ishtar, mother goddess of Babylon. Okay, now the Holy Spirit just impressed me at this very moment that Rhoda Johnson's wife, she claimed to be a goddess. Now, she believed that she was a deity. And now I see the goddess, the only goddess that she could have been, thought that she was, this goddess of Ishtar. That's the position she had to be. The mother, a goddess of Babylon. Well, I may have said something to one of the members of one of our church one time, a lady that I had brought into the church, out of the Adventist church, out of Dallas, Texas. She said to this lady one day, she says, you know, I don't think I'm going to be saved. I don't believe I'll be saved. Well, she knew something that we didn't know. A model of the Tower of Babel, Ziggurat, whose reconstruction is planned by the government of Iraq. Now here's a model of the Tower of Babel. Right here, a picture of it. And it says, it's called Ziggurat, Z-I-G-G-U-R-A-T. So if you want to look that up on your computer, you'll see a picture of this model that they plan on building, reconstruction, of the Tower of Babel by the government of Iraq. And where are they going to get their money? That oil money that they stole from Israel, the land of Israel. It belongs to Yahweh. It's Yahweh's money. It's his land. It's his oil. And here they are. They're misappropriating it, and that's the reason why Yahweh had antithetical Nebuchadnezzar George Bush Jr. to declare a war on Saddam Hussein and swing him from a noose, a hangman's noose, and exactly the way Haman was swung. Now look at this. Did you know they said that when they built the gallows for Saddam Hussein, they made it 20 foot higher and longer? What did Haman of old do? He made the gallows 50 meters high, way up there. He wanted everybody all across the city and clear out across the country to witness the hanging of Mordecai. And so when they hung Saddam Hussein, they made the rope about 20 foot longer and said it almost jerked his head off. And one of the others that they hung with him, it did jerk his head off. And so that was the ending of Saddam Hussein. He was hung just like Haman was. Okay. The Saddam Hussein guest house located in the center of Babylon. Got a picture here. All right, now here's another picture. It's got a picture of Saddam Hussein. It looks like it's 90 foot tall. And it's got a tower beside it where that picture is hung next to it. And it says, a portrait of Saddam Hussein greets visitors in the city of Samaria. Or S-A-M-A-R-R-A. Samara. No, that's not Samaria, that's Samara. Portraits of Hussein are everywhere in Iraq. Above, a proud display of more than 60,000 rifles captured from Iran in the closing months of the Iran-Iraq War, an American-made tank not pictured was given a special place of honor among the spoils of war. So, Iraq had about a 20-year ongoing war with Iran. That back there in the 70s and 80s. And Iran was trying to overthrow her neighbor, Iraq, and to take over her oil fields. And now, namely, Satan wanted to prevent Iraq from rebuilding Babylon. Because Iran says they're the rightful heirs to the throne of Babylon. The Ayatollahs that runs Iran today says Babylon originally belonged to them. Well, Iraq defeated them. Because Iran would have done the same thing that Iraq did, try to rebuild Babylon. Alright, now on the next page it says children dressed in Iraqi pioneer uniforms routinely shout, "We will die for you, Saddam." The design on their uniforms is a map of the Arab world. That ends all the pictures now in this book. This book is a treasure trove. I'm fixing to start with page one here as soon as I get through with my other series here. And I'm going to present this to you. Type and antitype of the rise of Babylon. I'm already giving it to you from the scriptures. And now we're going to see it come to life in real life. It has already happened. The rise of Babylon has already happened. And so as I said before, the 2001 9/11 with the Twin Towers coming down in New York, and they blamed it on the terrorists, and they zeroed in on Iraq as being where these Taliban and this here Al-Qaeda was born at. They blamed it on Iraq, even though the evidence shows that that actually wasn't so. But nevertheless, they used that as an excuse to go to war with Iraq. And the first thing that George Bush Jr. did whenever they went into 2003 and invaded Iraq to take and go after Saddam Hussein, his father, that is a part of the leaders of the Carlyle Group, the development company that's the largest in the world for taking and creating these wars. They're part of Skull and Crossbone and Skull, this Carlyle Group is. And what they do is they plan these wars, they get them started, and then the Carlyle Group goes in there with their army of construction workers, and they build oil pipeline, they take over all their oil fields, and start confiscating their oil. That's what George Bush Jr.'s father did, George Bush Sr., in 2003. He went with the Carlyle Group, and they went in there and started stealing all that oil out of the Caspian Sea and running it across Iraq. about 500, 600, 700, 800 miles down in the cross Iraq to a loading dock for oil to appropriate unto themselves, and to use that oil, that ill-gotten oil that belonged to Israel to begin with, belongs to Israel. Here's George Bush Sr., the father of Antipical Nebuchadnezzar, George Bush Jr., over there stealing the oil that his son is in there taking charge of the land, giving his father room and authority to go in and steal the oil that his son is plundering the land, keeping it under control so his father can go in and steal all their natural resources and appropriate them themselves. That's another story. Remember Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, he had a father named Nebuchadnezzar. And in the history, the prophetic history tells us that Nebuchadnezzar Sr. spent 10 years teaching his son, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon back then, teaching him how to make war and how to win wars. That was what Nebuchadnezzar's father did. Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar Sr., George Bush Sr., that was president from 1989 to 1993, for he spent 10 years teaching his son, George Bush Jr., how to be president, become president of the United States, and how to make war and win wars. Because he had his father and the Carlyle Group, Skull and Bones, the biggest secret society in the world, orchestrating behind and supervising his son, because his son hadn't got enough sense to come in out of the ring. He couldn't even build a good wheelbarrow, let alone be a leader. He was just only following the teleprompter, whatever his father told him to do each day, that's what he did. He didn't have enough sense to know what to do on anything. So, anciently, Nebuchadnezzar of old taught his son, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, king of Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar of old, the old man, he was the first king of Babylon, believe it or not. And his son succeeded him as the king of Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar had a son named Belshazzar that succeeded him to be the king of Babylon. So you had three Nebuchadnezzars that became king of Babylon, one succeeding the other one. Okay, so what you have to do today? You had George Bush Sr., 1989, President of the United States. He was a antitype of the father of Nebuchadnezzar of old. Then George Bush Jr., 2001 to 2009, 2002, became the antitypical Nebuchadnezzar. And then his antitypical son would be Obama. So we have a repeat of what happened anciently in that order. I thought that was worth telling. And so we're trying to follow inspiration as it leads us from one thing to another, and we don't know where we're going to get these next key information. But we keep our eyes open, and the Spirit will lead you to whatever it needs you to know at the time it needs you to know it. And so now, therefore, we're going to pick up now our study out of pro-symbolic code, number one, and we're on page 18, and we've taken quite a few minutes, nearly half of our hour, just to lay the foundation for what we're doing here. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? And the day that Jacob's bondage under the Gentiles is ended, and the day that strangers have joined themselves unto Jacob, in that day Jacob will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Isaiah 14:5-20. The Yahweh hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Now pay attention to this. Scepter is another word for rod. Okay? He who smote the people in the wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. So, this is at the judgment of Babylon now, when her king is the first one that's captured and brought into judgment. And guess what? The king has a queen. And in this prophecy, the queen, the king would be Obama, and the queen would be Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now look at this. The whole earth is at rest. Now we're talking about the United States proper, but now the king of Babylon, Obama, rules over all the world, not just the United States. So when it uses the word whole, W-H-O-L-E, earth in prophecy, singular, means the United States. But when you use that word whole, W-H-O-L-E, you're talking about the world proper. So the whole earth is at rest. So it's at the time, what causes this whole world to come to have its rest? When does the whole world come to its rest? When you take the, when the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers are broken. When they're broken, then the whole world is automatically goes into a rest. I'm talking about the righteous. The wicked never have no rest. That's what David said, and that's what the proverb says. They have no rest day or night. For the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. Who is this thee? Obama, the king of Babylon. Who is this other thee? The queen of Babylon, Hillary Rodham Clinton. She won't go away. She won't get out of the people's hair. She won't get out of the public's eye. She wants to be there. She wants to rule over the world. And in this case, she wants to rule over the king. The king is supposed to rule over the queen, but in this case, this queen wants to rule over the king. That's the reason why she took the seat in Revelation 17 upon the back of this beast. The beast represents the king of Babylon, and this woman represents the queen, and she's taking her position on the back of this beast. Means that she's driving the beast. She's the one that's in charge, not the king of Babylon anymore. That's why it's called Mystery Babylon. All right? And the cedars of Lebanon are saying, since thou art laid down, no fillers come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved to thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. Now look what we just read. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So all the kings of the nations have raised up from their thrones, and all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Huh. All of a sudden they're going to come to this king of Babylon because he has been taken captive. He's no longer in charge of his throne and ruling over all these kings. It says these kings have raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And all of a sudden, they have power now to come to this king of Babylon that has been ruling over them, because he has been taken captive now. In other words, he's taken and put into prison. He's put into a prison house. Whenever the 1260 years came to a close, starting in 1793, the Pope of the Vatican was taken prisoner, and he died in prison at the end of the 1260 year prophecy for that time period and for the Catholic Inquisition to end in 1798. The Pope died, taken prison in 1793 and died right there about 1799. He died in prison, bringing to a close that 1260-year prophecy. Well, Obama has got a prophecy. He has a time to reign, and his reign is just about to come to an end in the end of time. All right? So these kings that are raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations, all they shall speak and say unto thee. They're going to come. Because Obama is going to be laid before kings. Art thou also become weak as we? Now, these kings of all the nations that raised up from their throne, they have become weak. Well, what caused them to become weak? Now, we're talking about the king of Iran, that Obama made a league with to give them a nuclear bomb so they could make them equal to Israel. Israel had a nuclear bomb since 1988 or 87. And she's been sitting on it and using that as her ace in the hole against all the nations that threatens her, including the United States. And they know that she could just press a button and she could send off those nuclear warheads in any place in the world where she wants to. And they know this. Obama wanted to make Iran equal to Israel in that respect. So he's raised up all these... But these kings have become weak. How come? Well, ever since the news reported that Donald Trump the last year, he's been about a year now, that he's been campaigning for the presidency, he got the nomination all sealed up to be to run on the Republican ticket for the president of the United States. He's got the nomination. And it says all the nations are taking heed to his declarations that he has made about all the different nations. China and all of them, they're reshaping their cabinet and their own government to come into a compromise to work with this here new king that's coming up to take over the United States, and that's Donald Trump. They said they're shaping their policies and everything. In other words, Donald Trump has a power that's greater than these nations now. These nations will become weak. Because what Donald Trump's done, not what Obama has done. It's what Donald Trump is doing. Okay? So now it says, it says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. Well, who are these? He's talking about the spiritual dead people, all these spiritual ones that serve Allah, this here transvestite God. We just learned recently that Allah is a male and female transvestite. Obama is a transvestite. His wife, Michelle Obama, is a transvestite. She actually is a man. Obama's wife is actually Michelle Obama is a man. They've already proved that. They've already proved it. It's on your YouTube. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming, Obama. It stirreth up the dead, those spiritually dead rulers of the nations, for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also? Now also is a conjunction word, meaning in addition to us, have you also become weak as we? My goodness. And you're the one that we filled our allegiance with to rule with you for 1 hour. And behold, that hour is coming to a close. And now, instead of you becoming strong, you have become weak like we are. That pomp is brought down to the grave. All your pomp and ceremony is brought down to the grave. and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. It's talking about this is what happens when a body ceases to breathe and goes into the grave, then the worms are spread under thee. That's your the worms that eats the carcasses up once they die. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, these kings that have been raised up from the earth, they are addressing this king of Babylon. And they're calling him, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son, as it says, son of the morning. Now, Obama is this antithetical Lucifer, son of the morning. And that's who these kings are addressing. All these kings that have been raised up from their thrones, have become weak. They're addressing this because the reason why they joined this here Obama is because he was portrayed to them as being a savior sent from heaven. And that he was the true antitypical savior, God of this world. And everybody knows in their folklore and in their culture, especially the Muslim, the descendants of Ishmael, those Arab Muslim nation, they all know that Allah, in their folklore, is another God besides Yahweh Elohim, the God of the Hebrews. And they know that Lucifer is the one to be claiming to be the God of this world. And so that's the only thing that Allah could be, was the God of this world. Now keep in mind that Hillary Clinton, she goes both ways as well. Like Obama, he goes, well, he's bisexual. And so is Obama's wife, she's bisexual. But she's a transvestite. I said Obama was a transvestite. He's not. He's bisexual. He goes either way, male or female. But Michelle, his wife, is a transvestite. She is a man, converted to a female in appearance. But her genes and her hormones are testosterone, not, what do you call it, that other for women, estrogen. All right. So these kings that are raised up from their throne, they come to this here, and they're asking him the question: how art thou fallen? What caused you to fall? I mean, you were sitting up on your throne, high above all the thrones of the world. How art you fallen to the ground? How art thou fallen from heaven? Originally, you had your throne in heaven. They're asking Obama, well, now how was it that you fell from heaven? Because they actually believe that he is this Lucifer that fell from heaven. That's the reason why they pay allegiance unto him. They actually believe that he is this Lucifer, literally this Lucifer. That felt mad. That's really asking that question. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Because they know that Obama is either Lucifer or he's Lucifer incarnate. They know that he's one or the other. How art thou cut down to the ground? How did you get cut down to the ground? You got cast out of heaven. We know that. You fell from heaven originally, but how did you get kept down to the ground here now? Because you as exalted to the pinnacle of this earth's government for Babylon, you as exalted to the pinnacle. You represent this beast in Revelation 17 that has the 10 horns. It shows where you're in charge of all the kings of the world, that you've taken charge of them. But how are you kept down to the ground from there? And then it goes on to ask the question, how art thou cut down to the ground? See, it says first, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? You said in 2008 there's going to be a great change when you started your presidency in the United States. Great sweeping changes, you said. Drastic, dramatic. Nothing like it ever since the world began. So it's asking him a question, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Obama, son of that Lucifer that was called Son of the Morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Okay, so now you told us that when you became president in 2009, that you came from heaven. We believe that you actually came from heaven. And so we believe that you was going to ascend back into heaven, because you seem to indicate that you had established your throne in the height of the heavens. Because you said, I will be like the Most High, I will exalt my throne in the sides of the heavens. So these kings of the earth anticipated that he would eventually take his position in the place of Yahweh in heaven. Because he said in his heart, he said, I will ascend into heaven. So he'd have to be on here on earth in order to make that declaration. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of the Yahweh Elohim. See, this right here, I will exalt, means future tense, but I will do it. This is O-I trouble. I will do this. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also. He said, see this word also? He said, upon the mount of the congregation, not only will I exalt myself above the stars of Yahweh and the heavens, I will, not only will I take charge of them, but I will also, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. All right, now he's talking about he's going to sit in Yahshua, the son's seat. Where did Yahshua sit one day when he was here on earth, Matthew 5, upon the mount of the transfiguration? He went into the mount, and he called the children and the people up to listen to him. That's called the Mount of Olives. He called them into the mount. It's the Mount of Yahweh. So he said, I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation. Of the congregation, singular term. The is a singular personal possessive of something singular. And so it didn't put S on the congregation. It didn't put an S, showing where this is plural. What is this the congregation? It's the congregation of the 144,000 that Yahshua has taken charge of. Because he addressed that earlier by saying, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation like Yahshua has done. In other words, I'm going to declare war on him and have a battle with him, and I'll have to defeat him, and then I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation of Israel. In other words, I'm going to be the one to sit upon David's throne, not Yahshua. After I have this battle with him in Revelation 17, verses 12 to 14, where it says, his 10 horns represents the governmental body of this beast, and the beast represents Obama. He said, I'm going to engage the lamb, declare war on the lamb, and says the lamb overcome him. So, he defeats him, Yahshua defeats Lucifer now a third time. He defeated him in heaven, threw him out of heaven. He defeated him at the cross. First he defeated him at the cross. Went back to heaven, Lucifer followed him back to heaven. He defeated him at the gates of heaven. Cast him down on this earth. And now Yahshua comes and takes his throne upon the throne of David. And he defeats this here Lucifer a third time. Three woes. Woe, woe, woe. Okay, now as we continue on, it says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. We're going to then explain that one. In the sides of the north. In other words, he says, when I exalt myself, that's where Yahweh the Father's throne is at, is in the sides of the north. But Lucifer says, I'm going to also do that too. Ascend, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. When will he do this? After he defeats the Lamb in this third battle. In this third battle, he claims that he's going to defeat the Lamb. So this is when he made three declarations. I will ascend into heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the highest of the clouds. There's three of these. I will do thus and thus and thus. But he has to defeat the Lamb first. He's got to start in the congregation of the Lamb, and that congregation showed up in 1970 with Verlis Johnson at the helm. Well, Lucifer invaded that feeding pasture and defeated that house of Edom, the house of Esau. He defeated him. He was in charge of the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of David. And so now Yahshua come and delivered his servant in the spirit and power of Elijah. He brought him out of that feeding pasture. Satan followed him into this feeding pasture here, the fourth feeding pasture for Israel, this side of the Jordan. I know the Bible teaches three feeding pastures, but this fourth feeding pasture is where Lucifer gets his final defeat, the third woe. Third row, fourth feeding pasture. Okay. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. Okay. To the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as the carcass trodden under feet, thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. For the antitypical king of Babylon is called Lucifer, because Babylon is an institution of the devil. Okay, so the antitypical king of Babylon, Obama, antitypical king Belshazzar. And you know the story of what happened to Belshazzar. Him and his thousand of his lords came to an end in one night. Okay, now it says, Isaiah 14:21, be prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. The face of the world is going to be filled with cities, all right, but they're going to be the cities of Judea, Samaria, Ephraim. It's going to be the 12 tribes of Israel that's going to fill the face of the earth with cities, not the 12 princes of antitypical Ishmael. Okay, Babylon's expectation of what they will do will fall and reverse the destruction upon themselves, just as Haman's gallows at last was the instrument of his own destruction. Isaiah 14:22-25. For I will raise up against them, saith the Yahweh of Yahshua of hosts, and cut off from the Babylon the name and remnant, and son and nephew, saith Yahshua. I will also make a possession for the bitterns, and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the basin of destruction, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Yahshua of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountain tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. Why is Assyria brought in at this point, when all through the chapter it has been talking about Babylon? For the reason, let us read the next verse, Isaiah 14:26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all of the nations. For the Yahweh is here telling us that what he will do with Assyria, he will also do unto Babylon. For he declares that he will surely do it, and we must not doubt it. Just as Elohim was able to lead his people into the land of promise anciently, so he can now also today lead his people back and take from them their yoke and make of them a nation that shall never be given unto other people, but which shall stand forever. That's also Daniel 2:44-45. Isaiah 14:27. For the Yahshua the host hath purpose, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Who is able to tear down his purpose? His hand already is stretched out to do it, and none has power to turn it back. No one can stop it now. Isaiah 14:28. In the year that King Ahaz died, there was this burden. This gives the time that Isaiah saw this burden. Isaiah 14:29. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestinian, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. Here the subject again changes. This time the Palestinian, the promised land, anciently the rod that smote Palestine was Israel, who came into the land and became a nation of his own. But because of her disobedience, Israel was broken down and scattered and has remained so to this day. This verse tells Palestine, however, not to rejoice over Israel's broken condition, because something worse is coming up on Palestinia. For we read this in Isaiah 14:30. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and will slay thy and he shall slay thy remnant. It is the firstborn of the poor that shall feed and live in safety, and the Palestinians, the firstborn, say, of the poor. But Jacob represented the firstborn of the poor, and I represent the antitype of this firstborn of the poor, antitypical Jacob. Okay, it is the firstborn. In other words, the house of David represents the firstborn in our day, and shall feed and live in safety, and in Palestine. And Elohim says that he will kill with famine the root of the heathen that are now planted there, and the remnant will he slay. He is utterly to clean out the land of all the heathen that are there and give it unto his people. Isaiah 14:31. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestinia, art dissolved. See, all the Arab nations around Israel are all completely dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed time. Palestinia is to be completely dissolved. Through our study of the Bible, we have come to expect the heathen to be dissolved out of the Palestinian and the Assyrian period. The whole Palestinian are dissolved, for they shall come from the north a smoke. Smoke does not creep along the surface of the ground, but travels through the air, and as the smoke comes from the north, the phrase suggests that the aerial attack will be waged against her from the north and pass on to the south. It will mean that those who are now possessed Palestinia will lose out. The last phrase, and none shall be alone in his appointed times, means that they will not be alone, for others will be with it in his appointed times. Isaiah 14:32. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That the Yahshua has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it. This tells how Zion is going to be founded. The Yahweh is to accomplish it. From all appearances, it looks as though we are very, very close to the fulfillment of these prophecies. Okay. This brings the close of our study. This is our contact. That's at the 11th hour call. If number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. And if I study this hour contact, just the 11th hour call now, I'm going to close this service now with one of my sentimental favorites that I have written entitled, Let the Heavenly Light Shine Through. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful you are if you hadn't created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah, in his mercy, when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah, in his mercy, when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth, Yah had not come down. He spoke the word all creation heard, and the world started spinning around. Yeah, he spoke the word, and the light appeared, he divided it from the night. And Yah saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through, and Yah in his mercy when he comes again will have a heavenly home for you. Well, you climb up on a mountain and you look around, there's a green valley below. There's a moon up above that's shining with love, there's a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all the heaven can spare. And you think that this is just a glimpse of earth, there ain't no one there. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah in his mercy when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for